It is Monday morning, and at this time on a Monday morning, we talk to our Mayor, Julia Liu, and she's fronted up as usual, and here she is. Good morning, Julia.
Oh, good morning, Paul.
Let's get into it. It's been a very, very big week for Council and yourself. Douglas Shire residents have had a 3.9% rate increase for the 2018-19 financial year. Now, you brought down the budget at a special meeting at Council Chambers. Now, I do note, Julia, that Cairns Regional Council is sticking with a 1.75% rate rise for the majority of ratepayers. Why are we at 3.9%, well above the CPI and above Cairns?
It's important in answering this question, Paul, to understand the context of Douglas being a de-amalgamated council. We need to remember that back in 2013, it was predicted by the Boundary Commissioner that Douglas was the least likely to succeed out of the four de-amalgamating councils. We have proved them absolutely wrong. At the time, we were told we would go broke, never get any grants and not survive on our own. When we started at the beginning of 2014, we had a $5.2 million deficit. Partly, that was due to de-amalgamation costs. It was also due to the fact that we had to sustain $1 million worth of redundancies due to the fact that the Cairns Regional Council were able to do a full staff transfer of 40 staff to Douglas. Most of them had never worked in the Douglas offices and didn't even live in the Douglas Shire. So we had to sustain $1 million worth of redundancies as well as the de-amalgamation costs. If they had not done that, and they really should not have done that, they did not need to do that, we would have been in surplus last year. So what we've done, we had a five-year plan to actually get to surplus by the year 2020, and that's exactly what we are doing. And so next year, we will have a surplus. It's predicted at the moment around $34,000, and that will mean that in the future, we'll be able to have lower rate rises. In the meantime, though, we still have been a very successful council. We've had three record capital works programs worth almost $50 million, and we also have achieved a debt-free status, which actually Cairns doesn't have. At the moment, if you look at their financial statements, they have a debt which equates their borrowings per rate assessment of $1,785 per rate assessment. So I suppose, in a way, what we've done as our council on our journey is to focus very much on financial sustainability, very much focus on making sure that we are managing our infrastructure, that we are repairing, maintaining and renewing our vital infrastructure. We've got all these assets. We've got land, buildings, plants. We need to make sure that we are improving them. We can't go backwards. The other thing is that with this year's $16.5 million capital works program, we are actually in the construction business. And so when you talk about CPI, CPI is different in terms of it's not just a basket of food or goods. It's actually to do with construction costs. The council, and we're in a remote area, more remote in many cases than Cairns, actually doing infrastructure repairs and maintenance and bridges, particularly north of the river, is far more expensive than, you know, for example, in other areas of Queensland.
So, Julia, are you glad at this point that we went it alone? Because I guess a simplistic view would be somebody saying, well, look, if we'd stuck with Cairns, we'd now be paying 1.75% in rates, that percentage rise. So was it a good idea that we broke away? I guess you're looking at it in the long term.
Well, yes, absolutely, because the arguments at the time were that we could actually make sure that all our money was spent on our priorities, what this community wanted. It also meant that the community had an opportunity to elect councillors from this area, a set of councillors, not just one representative who was only at that stage one of 11. And so there were lots of arguments. And even if you look at, for example, rate rises, for example, for a residential one category, which many people are in that category, they'll be paying equivalent of $2.22 per week. So I've just done a rough maths in my head. If we were 1.75, that'd probably be about $1 or $1.20 per week. So a lot of people, many people, chose to vote to get back the Douglas Shire on the understanding that there would be a few years where our rates may well be higher than Cairns. But the other thing is that we need to remember that predictions, and people were well aware of this, would have been a prediction over 5 years of more than 100% increase. The first year, we were told it would be 28.45%. And then for the next 4 years after that, 18.08%. So that equates to more than 100%. What we have done is the first year 5.2, and then the last 4 years, including this year, 3.9. So that is just over 20%. So that in itself is one-fifth or 20% of even the predicted rate rise at the time. But clearly, what is important is that we can focus on our Shire. The other thing is when you're applying for grants, in many cases, a lot of the grant programs only really allow one application from an individual council. And in many cases, when I was the councillor, with my time at Cairns, we had projects that we wanted to submit, but we weren't able to because they always were voted down from the other areas in the CBD of Cairns, for example, or maybe, you know, it becomes a numbers game. And so now we have all the numbers because we have all Douglas Shire councillors. And I should point out that our council adopted this budget unanimously, and we're really confident that this is exactly what we need to do, and it's about making sure that the future generations are going to have a council that is financially viable. We also want to make sure that we have infrastructure that is not falling around our ears and being a burden for future council and future ratepayers.
So, Julia, what you're saying basically is, look, you're going to cop some pain now, but in the end, you're not going to cop the pain. We really have to do this to get the books in order and get the Shire working as it should. Is that basically what you're saying?
Well, yes. And what we have done is we've reduced the pain by spreading it out over 5 years as well. You know, the four de-amalgamating councils have done it a bit differently. Mareeba chose to put up their rates more than twice what we did the first year, for example. So, look, we think that this is the best way to approach it. We've certainly been getting very positive feedback from the Queensland Audit Office, for example, our internal audits, and we know, we're very, very confident that we've got very strong economic management.
Okay. We're talking with our Mayor Julia Liu this morning on Fab FM. And Julia, the budget papers also reveal that more than $977,000 will be distributed to local organisations, businesses and individuals. Can you give us an idea of some of those and sort of what are the priorities for that spending?
Look, there's a whole raft of things that go into that particular amount, which is really just under $1 million. There's certainly a substantial amount, more than $481,000 for Tourism Port Douglas Daintree. We really acknowledge that, you know, we're very dependent on tourism in our local economy. And so we have a performance agreement with Tourism Port Douglas Daintree to actually market the destination on our behalf. But we also have a number of other performance agreements with quite a lot of other organisations, particularly events, because events are also very important in terms of attracting visitors to our area. So we have agreements with Carnival, Ironman, Great Barrier Reef Marathon, in-kind support for the Mossman Show, the Port Shorts Film Festival, Taste of Port, we've already said the Mossman Show. We have a lot of other amounts of money, say for NAIDOC Week, New Year's Eve, Christmas in the Park. We also have funding programs. We've got the community support program, the business development program, the events funding program and the regional arts development fund. So there's a whole range of different organisations. We also have in-kind support for any number of organisations can apply to us for various things that they might be doing. So that's a really good fund. It supports tourism, events and our community organisations.
Now, council will also investigate. Well, we'll go off that now because it is what it is, and you've explained it, I think, pretty well. Council will investigate the feasibility of a solar farm at the Killaloe Waste Transfer Station. Tell us about that.
Look, yeah, this is one of our new initiatives. So we're going to do a feasibility and a business case on a solar farm, and it's at our own Killaloe landfill site, which means that we already own the land, ratepayers own the land, so we don't have to buy the land. We think there's some real opportunities for this in terms of reducing our own carbon footprint, of course, reducing power costs, and it will also put us in a good position to apply for external funding.
The solar farm itself, I mean, will it generate electricity for the Douglas Shire? Where will that electricity go, or will that be sold back onto the grid, so to speak?
Look, this is all what we want to investigate in this feasibility study. So I'm really looking forward to the outcome.
Okay. And dog owners will have a new place to let their pooches run free in Port Douglas. Apparently, you've announced a $145,000 off-leash trial for the northern area of Hutchings Park.
Look, for a number of years, we've really had some strong requests for people who would like to see us do an off-leash park. Obviously, there's areas around the Shire where people can take their dogs. And people do obviously take them along the beach in various spots. We have actually made a commitment that we will be doing this park, and there'll be lots of things, and we'll be talking to people about further things that they want to see as part of this park. So we've been getting good feedback about that. I know that when I was in Cairns Regional Council, we did establish a number of off-leash park areas there, and they've been very successful.
Now, talking of parks, council has also committed $150,000 in your budget to extend and renovate the Mossman Skate Park. Now, I understand Mossman State School student Colby Taylor, good on you, Colby, lodged a petition to help make this happen.
Yes, now last year, Colby came to see us at council. He had a petition, about 80 signatures, if I recall correctly. And it's a really good initiative. We were thinking naturally of improving that skate park. It's a number of years old now. It'd be more than 15 from memory. It's really highly used. I mean, I drive past there twice a day and there's always kids using it. It's a great location and it's in a beautiful park area and it's very safe. And so what we're doing is working with the kids. We're going to be doing some active consultation and designing with Colby and other kids. And that's what we have done in the previous skate parks that we've done in Wonga and the other one in Port Douglas, and initially when we established this one in Mossman many years ago as well. So we're very much looking forward to that, and I know Colby's very excited about it. He's got some great ideas. And we'll also be installing, as part of that sort of skate park upgrade, a pump track. And last year, we built a pump track at Port Douglas Sports Complex, and that's been really very well utilised as well.
Julia, pardon my ignorance, but what is a pump track?
It's an area which has got lots of people can ride their bikes and ride their bikes on it. This pump track in Port Douglas is located just next to the skate park, so people sort of can come off the skate park and then zoom down this pump track. And it's very popular, and it means that, you know, anyone with a bike can use it as well.
Ah, so now I know what a pump track is. I'm sorry, it's just
no,
this
no, don't
newfangled...
worry. I don't think. Look, it's something. We were one of the first in Queensland to build a pump track. We actually got some funding from the state government for it, and it's been so successful that once we saw how much the kids really enjoyed it in Port Douglas, I was really keen to make sure that over a couple of budgets that we can put them in other places.
I'm pumped.
That's why we're doing it.
And I think it's good too. And I think it's good that you go to people like Colby who actually know what they want, and then you can design things around that. Now we get to the new timber bridge decking installed across a creek north of the Daintree River under a $6.8 million in civil work spending.
Look, yeah, this is also a request very strongly from the community north of the Daintree River. So we're very pleased that we've been able to include this in our budget, and that's to replace the pedestrian bridge decking at Hutchinson's Creek. The new crossing, you know, we know will improve safety for school kids. It's been difficult and a bit dangerous for them without this crossing. The roadway is quite narrow, and so I know that people are really happy that we've been able to include that in the budget. And it is also part of, it's all part of our $16.5 million capital works, but it's the subset of that is our civil works. And so we've got a number of key projects in that one, in terms of, you know, lighting at Mudlow Street, a new bridge, at Noah's Creek, up at Daintree Road, culvert renewal. We're also going to be investigating the principal cycle network stage one. We want to really do some work so we can encourage the state government to put some money into its cycle network, particularly between Mossman and Port Douglas.
We're talking with our Mayor of the Douglas Shire, Julia Liu. Julia, while on safety and repairs, council contractors have started guardrail repairs around the Douglas Shire. Now, this might seem a small story, but I think a very, very important one.
Look, it is, as you know. I mean, if anyone has an accident, obviously what we hope is these guardrails certainly prevent any further damage to themselves. And so we have a program that we're going around the Shire and doing these types of repairs. And that has started certainly in Cape Tribulation last Friday. And the work will continue over the next couple of weeks.
And finally, Julia, the Kids Water Park in Port Douglas. What's Council's vision for this?
Look, for many years, there's really been, an idea that we really need to have a water park, maybe particularly for kids, but maybe for older kids, teenagers and adults as well. We think that this will be a lovely sort of space for families to enjoy our outdoors. And so we'll be doing some heavy consultation around this because we want to make sure that, you know, we get it right and get a feel for what the community wants. You know, we know that there is a very popular playground called Muddy's Playground in Cairns. Most communities now, particularly in the tropics and areas where it does get pretty hot, are installing water parks. And I think it's high time that we do as well. So what we're doing is in this budget, we've committed money to a feasibility study, and then that will also be a platform, you know, for us to seek additional external funding if need be in the following year.
Terrific. Anything else you'd like to mention before we go?
Look, I suppose I encourage people to have a good look at what we have got in the budget. Things like, you know, $460,000 to repair the sugar wharf. Everyone loves the sugar wharf, but it is a very old heritage building. And I suppose that's a really good example of where we need to constantly repair that and make sure that, you know, that it doesn't fall apart or fall down. It's very popular, certainly for weddings. And also we have a number of council events on occasions there as well. The walking track that was opened late last year, due to the rain that we experienced late last March, we do have to repair that. And so we've committed $200,000 to repair that walking trail. Half of it is available for people to walk and enjoy at the moment, but we do need to complete those repairs.
Mm. Hey, listen, Julia, the Sugar Wharf, of course, it was used for the art exhibition and the artists actually working during Carnival. And that was really the first time I've seen that space done up as such. It's a terrific space, isn't it, for artwork or anything like that?
Well, it's so unique. I mean, I suppose this is what is quintessentially Port Douglas. You've got the Sugar Wharf, you've got St Mary's by the Sea, you've got beautiful Dixon Inlet, you've got Rexmill Park. I mean, we've got these beautiful buildings that are set in the most spectacular environment. And so it is really important that council, you know, with its assets, and Sugar Wharf is one of our assets, that, you know, we do commit in our budget to making sure that it's there for the future.
Now, I spotted a video online of you with Cynthia Louie talking about those boats that are floating around Port Douglas that we need to get rid of.
Well, yes, that's actually all part of the state government budget. They announced a $20 million program to remove derelict vessels in the far north coast. And so I certainly took the opportunity to contact Cynthia as our state member, because for many years this community has been crying out for some assistance to actually remove the boats and derelict vessels, abandoned vessels in Dixon Inlet. And certainly our local marine advisory committee has done substantial reports about the matter. I've advocated on their behalf and also on council, had a meeting in October 2016 with Minister Bailey and never heard anything back from it. And so as soon as I saw that the government was starting to take this issue seriously, I wanted to make sure that Douglas wasn't forgotten and that we were able to put forward our case in making sure that some of that money is spent in the Dixon Inlet.
Julia, you have a wonderful week, and I'll see you at the same time next week on a Monday, around about 8 a.m. for Julia Liu. You have a great week.
Look, you too. Thanks very much, Paul. Bye-bye.
Bye.